Scripture this morning is taken from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The Word of God.
Christina Cleveland is an author of a book entitled Disunity in Christ, Uncovering the Hidden Forces That Keep Us Apart. It was the recipient of the 2013 Reader's Choice Awards Honorable Mention. In her book, she states that despite Jesus' prayer that all Christians be one, divisions have been epidemic in the body of Christ from the beginning to the present. She reinforces that point by saying that we tend to cluster in theological groups, gender groups, age groups, ethnic groups, educational and economic groups. She continues to say that freely we criticize those who disagree with us, don't look like us, don't act like us, and don't even like what we like. She concludes her observations by saying that we may think we know why this happens, but actually we probably don't. To continue this thought briefly, Dr. Thomas Rainier, president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, did an exhaustive study on the breakdown of unity in our churches. His overarching observation to a list of 14 factors for breakdown of church unity is as follows, and I quote from Dr. Rainier. One of the greatest sicknesses in our churches in America is disunity. Indeed, many of the problems we think we have are really just symptoms of the breakdown of unity in the church, end of quote. Friends, it's true that in some parts of the world, churches are literally being destroyed, and Christians are being killed. The problem with the church in America is a different type of attack from within. And disunity is one of the more prevalent problems. That is why God inspired Paul to tell us in the scripture reading for today that Dan just shared with us, to live in a manner worthy of the calling which you and I have received. So together, let's unpack four key points from this passage to both challenge and help us to live worthy of your and my calling. If you have your outline before you, it may assist you as we proceed through the message. God wants you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We see that in the first three verses. The question becomes, what does that mean exactly, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received? There are many examples around us of what it means to live in a manner worthy of a calling. Several examples. A policeman, when he works, is supposed to be an example of the law. He lives worthy of his profession. He doesn't steal, he doesn't cheat, he defends and upholds the law. A doctor also is supposed to be to live worthy of his profession. He heals the sick. He cares for those who are ill and seeks to make them well. The farmer tills the soil and produces food for thousands. He is called to this task and is gifted to accomplish it. The Christian, there are marks of what it means to live a life worthy of the calling. In verses 1 through 3, I quote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing forbearance," which is endure with one another, "in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And there you see several fruit of the Spirit being listed: humility, gentleness, patience, love, peace. Single purpose, unity in the body of Christ. Therefore, in order for unity to occur in the body of Christ, we Christians need to exhibit, show, display humility, gentleness, patience, endurance, and peace. So, God wants you to live in a manner worthy of being called a Christian. Begs the question to be asked, why? Why does God want me to be humble, patient, bearing with one another, loving, peaceful, united? Great question, right? Great question. God wants you and me to live a Christ-centered life. Christ-centered. First of all, it is because God has called you and me into unity. Verses 4 and 5. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The reason that it says one faith, one Lord, one baptism is because it is into one church that you are all baptized. That is, into one faith, the Christian faith. The Christian faith. Male, female, young, old, immature, mature, black, white, brown, and yes, Calvinists or Arminians alike. One faith as a whole, and one faith in the particulars, one faith in the decisions that a church must make for the purpose of what? Glorifying God, being united in love, and expanding the kingdom of God. Let's take a practical example of that for just a moment. A military unit. One leader. It works as a unit. It moves in one direction. It receives its orders. It obeys them. It follows through. All those in it work well together because they have been trained to do so. Sometimes individual members of the group, maybe they don't like what they are called to do, but they do it anyway for the greater good. Therefore, they are able to accomplish a great deal because they move, they act, they behave as a cohesive one unit. Jesus said, and I quote, "And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one." God wants you and me to be united because in verse 6, we see again, there is one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then there's the cross. You and I have been bought with an enormous price, and you are united to Christ. God gave his very best, his only begotten Son. The same God indwells each one of us, the same Holy Spirit. If differences of opinion arise, it is not because God is telling us different things. It is because we are not listening. It is because we are stuck listening to ourselves and not to God. It's always the right time to listen more intently to His will and submit to His will. You listen to His will, you submit to His will, just as Jesus said, and again I quote the words of our Lord, "Not my will be done, Father, but your will be done." And we find that in the Gospel of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 42. Okay, moving along. God wants you to be united, a one mind, one body, one spirit, one faith, and of one Lord. And here's the great news, friends, the really great, exciting, challenging, yes, but great. God simply doesn't require unity without providing the means to achieve it. That is why he gave gifts to achieve unity. Verse 11, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." I'm just going to give you a broad stroke, many job description, and I think you can stay with me for that. How about the apostle? A delegate, okay? A buzzword for you. A messenger. One who is sent forth with orders from God. The prophet. Someone who is moved by the Spirit of God and who solemnly declares to men what he has received from God by inspiration. The evangelist is a bringer of good tidings. Good tidings. It is a name given to the New Testament heralds of salvation through Christ who are not apostles. They lead people to Christ. Remember the theme song of Billy Graham? "Just as I am, without one plea, but Lord, that your blood was shed for me." Pastor, right? Pastor. Here's one for you. A herdsman. You say, "Well, Dennis, where does that come from?" A shepherd. He is someone who cares for the flock. Remember I said herdsman? The task of Near Eastern shepherd were to watch for enemies trying to attack the sheep, to defend the sheep from attackers, to heal the wounded and sick sheep, to find and save the lost or trapped sheep, to love them and guide them. During World War II, a shepherd was a pilot who guided another pilot whose plane was partially disabled back to the base or carrier by flying alongside him to maintain visual contact. So, to the pastor comes alongside to guide, to protect, to help, to teach the sheep, the congregation, so that they might grow in the grace of God and come to unity in the faith. The teacher. The teacher in the New Testament is a person who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of men. They teach doctrine and correct people in error. They are those who are in the Christian assemblies undertake the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. Now, these officers, which I just gave like an overview, were given to the church by Jesus for a specific purpose. And you say, what's that, Dennis? Verse 12 gives us the indication. To prepare you, to prepare me for service. Then you say, well, what kind of service, Dennis? Spiritual service. Prayer. Helping. Admonishing. Teaching. Forgiving. Loving. Being an example of Christ in this world and bringing glory to God. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Just think about those things at camp meetings and Sunday school and VBS programs. They still resonate even with more theological concepts behind them. To accomplish this, you are to be, I'm going back now, humble and bold. Watch the contrast. They're beautiful, they're challenging, and yet this is the expectation. Gentle, yet determined. Patient, yet strong. Bearing with one another in love. Forgiving one another. Helping one another. And considering others more important than yourselves. Big order, right? Big order. But we serve a big God. Well, the question then becomes, why? Maturity. Maturity is the goal of Christian unity. If there's a takeaway from this morning, there you are, friends. Maturity is the goal of Christian unity. Again, we come back to the issue of the reason. That is, the reason we are equipped and gifted in this church. And let's personalize it. Gifted in Fairview Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Verses 12 and 13 give us insight. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, the word again, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. As members in the body of Christ, we are continually being built up to maturity. It's action-oriented. What kind of maturity? Personal maturity. Again, those qualities, humility, gentleness, bearing with one another, love, and peace. So that from personal maturity becomes corporate maturity. And from corporate maturity, you see the stepping stones here? Maturity in doctrine. Knowing what is essential and what is not essential. Knowing what it means to be gracious to others in the body of Christ who may not agree with you in certain areas. Patience and love and peace, they are qualities to be shown to all people in the body of Christ, so that we might speak what? The truth in love. You know, the EPC has what I call a little slogan, and the candidates that are going to be installed later this month for the various leadership offices, you know, the elder, the deacon, and the trustee. We had training sessions back in the month of July, and this is another takeaway that the EPC, but I think it really resonates with the message this morning. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. You got that? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Let's conclude. In this world of anti-Christian bias, we need all the more an extra measure of maturity. That grace, that gentleness, that patience, that forgiveness. Each one of us has to do our part. And I'm going to use a single word, repeat it three times, as another takeaway for you to the message this morning. Reaching up to seek God through study, to seek God through prayer, and be in the Word. Reaching in, look to one another, find a need. People in any church, including Fairview, have needs for love, for support, for encouragement. And visitors need to be graciously welcome and encouraged. You know, something could be as simple as, you know, we're open every Sunday morning at 10:30. Come on in. Okay, see? So you reach up, you reach in, and then you reach out. The community. We got a community around here. At large awaits the continuing demonstration of your love and my love and commitment to Christ. Kind of relates, this past Tuesday, we opened up Fellowship Hall for a community meeting on a business-related item that impacts the potential development of homes. But the session said, yes, this makes a whole lot of sense. You open up the doors, you invite the people in, they can sit on chairs, they can be comfortable, and we had nearly 30 people here. A number of them came up afterwards and said, Dennis, thank you. We really appreciate that. I said, we were pleased to do that. We want to do that again, and I think there's going to be future meetings. But you see, small step. Is somebody going to come through our door some Sunday? It's up to him. But wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be neat? In final sentence, this is what it means to live a life worthy of the calling you and I have received. Say amen, someone.